Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you in. This is Dave Cole, Marketing Director at First In Promotions and real estate marketing and advertising for more than 25 years. And we're joined as always, let's bring in our co-host from Front End Social, our social media expert, Scott Winteroth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast. Dave, I know we've got a great topic lined up today to talk about regarding ways to come up with new strategies to help better promote your properties and sell and list more homes. So take us into what we're going to learn about today.
All right, Scott. Yeah, I wanted to talk about, it's actually kind of based on some research and some, theory, and that is for, and it can work either on the buy side or the sell side, but when a home is convenient to transportation or makes it an easy commute. So there's just some things that I've found that over the years that people don't always take into consideration that could make a difference in terms of making a purchase or on the sell side, making a sale. So it's just something that's interesting. And I guess you have from the one situation that's more for the biggest of cities where you have, a parking problem. It may be, the big high rise condo units or just blocks, a block with apartments or condos or where parking is either at a premium or it needs to be paid for. So you hear about the New York condos where people fight over paying thousands of dollars for a parking space, and you hear about things like that. And so that's, kind of one thing. But in this case, it's also sometimes working with parking restrictions, just as kind of a story of where I first came to notice this is that years ago, back in my living in apartment days, I actually lived in an apartment building where we were given one space and had two cars, but the suburb, the village that we lived in, had the parking restrictions overnight where there was no parking between 2 and 5 a.m. For a while there, we had a restaurant, a lunch and dinner restaurant across the street that would say, okay, no problem using our parking lot overnight since nobody was there. And then I think the insurance company caught up to it and we weren't able to park there. And so we'd have situations of having to park like a block and a half away at the, a public parking lot and just things where it was a mess because you could not park on the street. And granted, those were apartments, but it was just this thought of, those kinds of things should be taken into account. And even there's a lot of municipalities that have that restriction. And so whether or not not extra cars, but you know what I mean, mm-hmm. where guests or if you've got a household where you've got, mom and dad are going to work and need their cars, and maybe the kids get a little older and they're in late high school or in college, or where you may have three cars or four cars for a household, what do you do? So that's one thing to keep in mind, that if you're in that situation and looking to buy or living in that situation and needing to sell, and you do not have the sell situation, you do not have a municipality that has that, but you're near others that do, that may be something to point out. You can park, three cars, whether there's a garage or a driveway or not, even if it's a condo building, that there's no parking restrictions. You can have guests. It sounds like a minor thing, but it, could be a convenience, especially when people in the household or guests are seniors where they can't walk a big distance. So that's becoming a little bit more prominent. So, and I think pretty much everybody, Scott, would have some type of situation like that where parking is or has been a challenge, and it's just something to think about.
I tell you, it hits close to home because I know, as I mentioned, I moved recently, and we have one spot with our a condo, and ultimately the wife gets it most of the time. and I'm sometimes walking a block or two away. It's not the end of the world, but you know, having so, you know, being pointing that out and making that as part of the buying decision is definitely a great idea. And it's sort of, I think, a great way for a agent or whoever selling or buying, you know, to be two steps ahead. So great idea. Great thing to think about.
All right. The other way, or the other aspect of this is, especially when there's, you're near a bus or a train, some type of commuter, you know, service. And in fact, there's been research done, I know, and as a lot of the folks know, we come out of the Chicago area, and so there's a big commuter train line called Metra that's got several routes and goes way out into the suburbs. I've seen two research reports in the past, maybe 4 or 5 years or so. One, it was actually done by the regional REMAX, and another through one of the newspapers did this. And so there's been research showing increased or higher property values for homes within like a 5-minute radius of these Metra train stations because of the, you know, convenience of people being able to ideally walk to and from the train station. That also, just as you have your situation with the, you know, having to park a block or two away sometimes, it so happens that where I'm at, I'm able to walk to that commuter train. So yeah. In terms of looking at it, now here you have where home prices are more valuable near transportation, and wherever you may, those of you listening may happen to be, that's something to keep in mind if you're in a middle size or larger sized community where you're even near a bus stop, which opens up a lot more people. Maybe you're right, you know, half a block away or really close by, whether it's a bus stop or a train station. And so as I look at it, where I'm at, there's a parking lot at the train station or parking areas that charge $2 a day for parking. Now, in theory, I'm opposed to that because it's why am I paying to not have to drive when I'm paying to take the train, but that's another story. Point is that because property values are higher within a walking distance or a short radius close to the train station, is that it's saving me $2 a day or a commuter day. So over the course of a week, that's $10. So look at it this way, the home that myself or someone has, according to this research, maybe it's $5,000 more, or maybe $10,000 more than a similar home that does not have this proximity to, in this instance, the train station. And so as a buyer, it's something where you might go, well, why would I pay an extra $10,000 just to be near the train station? I can get to it, or I can use other means of transportation. So my response to that is that to look at it, that $2 a day, that $10 a week, and that's for just getting to the, you know, avoiding the parking at the train station. If you're close to a bus, it may be $2 each way and $4 a day for the bus. But using my $10 a week example, you think about it, that's $50 a week. That's $200 a month. And I mean, you start adding that up. So right there, that's, let's say, $20,000 to $2,500 per year. If you're going to be in that house even for 5 years, you're at $10,000 to $15,000 that you're saving mm-hmm. by not having to, in this case, pay to park to get to the train station. So if the home is priced maybe $5,000 to $10,000 more, presto, there it is where you're going to save that. And yes, even though you're spending the money, now it becomes equity as opposed to just still another expense. So something to look at on the buy side. On the sell side, you take that same theory and say, hey, here's a way I can justify, not that you need to justify or defend the price for your home, but in compared to another one, you can say, well, yeah, this home is $5,000 more than a similar one, you know, 2 miles away. However, here's the difference, and be able to show that they're actually saving by buying your home if they're in a commuter type situation. And these are things that just are not, you know, I don't see pointed out very much or even nearly enough. It's even to the point where I know after that one study that RE/MAX did came out, there were some agents from other offices that I mentioned that to, and they were not even familiar with the fact that, you know, RE/MAX had done that or that this research was there, yet they have listings that could be impacted and give them that additional selling point. So that's where I wanted to be able to point that out. And you could even use that theory a different way if it's not near a transportation center and it's more of a driving situation, such as a, you know, development further out of town or in a, you know, lower populated area where there's the driving involved. It may be the kind of thing of, okay, what would it cost you in gas to drive that extra 10 miles a day? That's, let's see, that's a gallon every 2 days. So that could be, you know, $3. That could still be $6 or $7 a week in gas that you're saving by paying a little bit more for this house because you're closer to the location you need to be at. So this is not only for if it's, you know, train or bus stations. And again, we're trying to just get the theory out there. There's a lot of specific examples. But again, I want to point out, you look at, oh, $2 a day or $4 a day. We'll add that up over the course of a week times 50 weeks, giving people a couple of weeks for vacation or for variables, and you're getting the idea of the money that you could show as a potential buyer they could save, or again, if you were selling, a way to further justify being able to say you could have these funds used as equity for you, help your credit, help your financial status, as opposed to it being an expense and come out ahead in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great way to look at it, especially, I mean, I would think most of the people who are buying, who are looking to, who are commuters, who are looking in areas like that too, are already into the idea of taking the train. So it's a matter of kind of using that to leverage them just over the hump, maybe of the price, right? So great point.
All right. Thank you. So I think we're pretty much set for today. So
all right.
We will, well, let's let our audience be able to hop on the train and get on with their day and take care of it. Scott, or any final thoughts?
No, great way. And I think that is definitely some great advice that people can take to the bank, if you will, and action items that they can use the day-to-day practice. So, Dave, thanks for sharing that great knowledge. And if anything, educating me, which is always a positive thing, and hopefully our listeners out there will come around and thank you like I just did as well. So, Dave, how about that? Are we ready to sign off for this week?
Yeah, that will do it. You have a great week.
You too. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to visit our website at davecole.com for more episodes with actionable strategies and to subscribe to future episodes. Please consider leaving a 5-star review and sharing this podcast with someone who would benefit from this content. Thank you, and see you next episode.